Greetings, lovely listeners. Today, we talk about students who never fly the nest. I'm talking about students that are different from the students I talked about on my recent podcast about ones that should fly the nest. This episode, I am talking about students who are perfect in the sense that they always want to learn from you. They always are open to your new techniques. They are with you. Your ride or die students. That's what I'm going to call them. Your ride or die students who have been with you through the highs and the lows, with your personal life, with your teaching life and what you present as a teacher, with their downs and lows in their physical life and their highs and lows in their spiritual development life. And no matter what happens, you know they're going to show up in your space. They respect you, even though it's been 4 or 5 years. And they will say, I've never been drawn to study under anyone else. I never want to leave. I am still learning. Please, I want to stay. Can I stay? And my question for you teachers out there is, do you think it's possible to keep them forever? If, you know, and my answer to that question, as you're thinking about yours, is yes, I do think it's possible. I think that if a student respects you and is open to hearing your lessons, and they don't question your authority, and they don't want to be that shining star, and they are very soul mature, okay? And they always want to learn and open to learning from you. No judgments, no cut-ups, no harshness. None of that do they give you, right? I think if they're always open to learning from you, then yes, I think it's possible. Of course it is. Regardless of what physical life presents both y'all, if the classroom, if there is learning, of course it's possible. And the teacher, though, and this is what I think the secret is to this, to having a healthy long-term mentor-student relationship. I think the secret is there always has to be soul involvement with the teacher and the student. There always has to be that involvement at the soul level. And I feel like it will happen. I know it happens not just with the mediumistic development, but in the physical life too. It's that highs and lows y'all ride through life together with. And I think that it's possible if there's growth in the physical life and in the classroom, new lessons, new ideas, new ways of working with spirit. And not only is that evolvement happening, but when the hardship happens, like in the mediumship development and in the physical life for teacher, student, both alike, when that hardship happens, you don't push spirit away, but you draw closer to it. That's something that has to be very present too. And I think, you know, you teachers out there who have these students at 3, 4, 5 years, they're going to know this. They know this. They know that when the hardship of life presents itself, that the last thing they naturally do at a soul level is push spirit away. They want to draw closer to that peace that I think spirit brings us during those times. And so staying connected then throughout all that hardship, that soul evolvement, it may not necessarily, it may be more physical and then more mediumistic sometimes in the classroom or in the physical life outside of the classroom. But when there's movement and you keep spirit close, I think that's healthy. I think when that student teacher can support each other in that, in the classroom, and then the teacher hold that space when physical life happens. And even when the teacher has physical life hardships, the students hold that classroom space. You know, whether class happens or not, the students, you know, still desire that space from the teacher. They hold that space waiting for the mentor to return. I think that's very healthy. And I think that shows a lot of strength. I think there has to be change, basically. but growth in that change at a soul level. Or else, no, I don't think long-term relationships with student teachers are possible. And so you're probably thinking, well, how do I know, you know, to my teachers out there, you're probably thinking, or even students looking at their mentors, wondering if they should stay or not, right? You're probably thinking, well, how do I know if I'm evolving? How do I know if my classroom is stagnant or not? You know, what are some signs that I want to stay or I need to move on? How do I know that this evolvement is or isn't happening? And I think it's very simple, actually. I think if we take a step back and we view the student teacher as a mirror, you can get a lot of answers that way. Let me explain. I always say, if you want to know how a mentor is doing and how healthy their relationship is with their students, what are their students doing? You know, what are they out there doing in life? Because that's a direct reflection of the energy their mentor is bringing them. Are these year two, three, four students out there happily doing their mediumship or just keeping it more personal? That's fine too, but comfortable with it. Are they healthy in their expression of their mediumship and their life balance of the physical and the mediumistic? And let me explain when I say that. I mean, the physical life they're here to lead that isn't the medium, but then also the mediumistic life they're here to lead where they are working as mediums. You know, is there a healthy balance with that? I think that's a reflection on the mentor. And I think that there's a mirror that is held up here that we can look at to really determine and see the quality of the space that we're learning in or that we're even teaching in. You know, when I feel these ebb and flows, whether you call it the lunar cycle, that's a huge part of it too, of course, or just the fall season approaching, or it's the, you know, peaceful inner stillness of winter, whatever, take all that into effect. But when I have classes where I notice that the energy of my students physically and the expression of their mediumship in their physical life is lacking, you know, if it's supposed to be a hibernation and we're like in wintertime or there's some crazy stuff going on with the cosmos, you know, that can all justify this. But if there isn't, and this is prolonged and my mediums aren't being productive or feeling happy with their life, their mediumship, then I know I need to change things up and something is wrong. Something is wrong with the space I'm creating, because I believe a good teacher of spirituality, okay, should have students that are at peace, the very minimum, and happy. And no, I'm not saying that I'm responsible for my students and their happiness and showing them and making them be happy. That's not how this works. I am responsible, however, for creating a space for their soul to evolve in through their mediumship, that will allow them to find that peace and contentment and happiness easier and more naturally all on their own when they leave my classroom. And so if they're not able to find that, then something's lacking with the soul. The soul isn't moving. The soul isn't growing. And as a medium teacher, that's what I'm all about. Yes, it's about perfecting the clairs. Teachers out there, you know this. But it's so much more than that, isn't it? It's about the journey of the soul. And when the soul evolves and grows, it's happy. And I'm here to do that with my students. And so I think that if this healthy environment with soul evolvement, think about the mediumistic development, the physical life, the keeping spirit close, the staying together, me, you know, creating a space where they can just feel and grow and learn about the divine. You know, I think that if all is that is there, if there is present, I think a long-term relationship is absolutely possible. You know, and because I'm going to be honest, I had a student reach out to me, and I can't say it's a special student or a favorite student, because I love them all. All of my advanced students are like total powerhouses with what they've experienced and been through and how they've, you know, kept spirit close. But I had one reach out saying, was this a way to push us out of the nest with your last podcast? And I thought, oh my gosh. I said, no. I said, the podcast said, if you feel you don't learn from me, then you don't need to be in my space as a student. It's very explanatory. But I gently reassured her that no, I did not want her to leave. And as long as she feels she is learning and growing and has that respect and lets me redirect her when she's working mediumistically, or not be afraid when I push her in the middle of a contact and be open to that and like feel that I'm respecting her, right? And me feel like she's respecting me, then of course I don't want her to leave. And of course not. And I think that, you know what, that text message really said a lot to me. I realized that maybe I had scared her a little bit. And I don't ever want to, put yourself, and this is what I do a lot of times, by the way, when I get these texts that are so heartfelt and so sweet, put yourself in your student's shoes. That's what I do. And I'm like, if I felt like my teacher wanted to push me away when I'm so in love with her space, I would be heartbroken. That's another thing we need to think about here. For you teachers out there thinking, oh, when they make your 3 or 4 or 5, and they still don't want to leave. But if there's a healthy relationship and the involvement is there, why would you push them out? Why would you, what, because you got more year ones coming in? That's not an excuse. If the involvement is still there, I think we need to keep that space for them still. But if I had my mentor tell me that, like she pushed me out of the nest when I absolutely loved her and was still learning, I would be devastated. I would be devastated for the rest of my life. If this is someone who I changed fundamentally in personally and soulfully, you know? And so I kind of took a step back with that text I got. And I thought, of course, I will always keep space for my students who respect me, want to learn from me, and I respect them, and I know they want to learn. Of course I'm going to. And let's address this, mentors. You want to push your 4, 5-year students out? Your great ride or die students. Your ride or die students. Okay? Because what? You got 20-year ones coming in? Next round, 40, 50, whatever. I don't think that's an excuse. I think that we can tap into this too and feel it very easily as teachers. We know what's right. We know where our soul is calling us to still be present with our students. And like the last podcast, we also know when our soul is urging us to bring clarity to students who do need another space. We know it. We need to help them see that too. That's an extreme situation, like I said, where there's disrespect, the ego is involved. You know, it's time for them to fly the nest. You know that you can't involve them anymore through your words, your teachings, their peers in your class. They've got to go, but that's not what I'm talking about. You know, if you've got the golden rider dies, why let them go? Because it's too much work for you to evolve your classroom modules or your syllabus. You can do it because you, don't forget, need to evolve still as a teacher too. And you can still do that with your advanced ride or die students. You can. But you still need that year one too. See, it's a balance. In some years, it may ebb and flow with however many year ones, twos, threes, fours, fives you have. But you listen. And I think when you build up a program, like a lot of these big time mentors out there do, myself, I've only been doing this 6 years. I'm not classifying myself in that category just yet. I have 40 students, okay? Some out there have hundreds, but 40 is nothing to blink at. And I can tell you, it's enough to bring me into awareness of the dynamics of myself as a teacher, year ones versus year fours and fives, and what unfolds in those dynamics. The leveraging, the duality, the balancing of the earlies to the veterans to the rookies, and the boundaries and the ebb and flows, and feeling where I'm called to be present for them. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's never about chopping off the veterans. At least for me, it hasn't been, listeners. So anyway, enough about this. I'm going on and on and on. I guess to sum up this podcast that I was very much guided to share today, if you're out there and you've got those students who they're golden, they still love to learn from you, they grow with you and you grow with them, and they urge you to push your teachings, why would you end that? You know, then that's where you've got to be present, and you can make room for those rookies too. So I do think it's possible to keep these students forever. And isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? To just imagine yourself as a mentor on your deathbed, your physical deathbed, and to look back on decades that you have spent with people, evolving not just their soul, but watching yours evolve with theirs. What a journey. What a beautiful thing to think about when you are about to cross into spirit. I know that's what I want. And I know I count my blessings for each and every student who still loves to be in my space after 4 or 5 years. And I know they count me as a blessing too. And we love each other. We do. We do. We're each other's ride or dies. Until next time, listeners, be well.